Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is Season 5, Episode 15. This week is going to sound a little different. We are kind of given a state of the union, a state of the program, if you will, this week. We had
state of the season. I don't want to get into program. Yeah, but state of the season, I'd say.
Yeah, some of it will bleed into like where we've been and what we'll do in the future. But yeah, most of it is because of what has happened this year, for sure. You know, it's just tough. Like, I mean, we wish we were talking about a win, which would be fun. But talking about a 30-point loss to St. Joe's at nauseam is like not fun. It's not fun for us. It's not fun for listeners. So I figured maybe we can just kind of talk about how the season's gone and what reasonably can happen for the rest of the season, and then what we can hope for going forward. So we're going to be talking about that. It's probably going to be a shorter episode. You know, no reason to kind of belabor these points because a lot of stuff can change between here and the end of the season and here and next week even. So. We're going to talk about that. Lou, what is something that has made you happy other than the Loyola Ramblers in the past week?
Well, it's kind of tied into Loyola Ramblers, but I was on a phone call with the fam yesterday, and my father mentioned the game. Did he mention good things about the game? No, but he was aware of the game. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that, being back out in New York, so that was fun. Interesting to have us on a national channel. That was interesting. I think that's kind of props to the A10 as just a conference. So I think that's just the next level and how we kind of go about things when it comes to just appearing on national level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always good to get yourself on TV and hopefully you just don't keep losing by 30 points on national TV.
Yep, exactly. So try to find the good in it, but yes.
Yeah, it's a little easier to find that channel sometimes. So we will be talking about that here in a minute. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown Skipper scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
And we are back. I'm gonna let you drive this one. How much do you want to talk about that game? Is there anything you want to talk about from St. Joe's, or do you want to just kind of get right into the other stuff?
Oh yeah, I think even right away, just was interesting and was kind of just a smack in the face. Lynn Greer, I think. Drew said it best, and he just made me laugh. A guy who I think was 3 of 30 going into the game decides to go 5 of 6 from 3. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just one of those things. But I think the one thing I'll really talk about is there was a particular moment in the first half that had a lot of fans tweeting, and we were all tweeting roughly the same stuff, and it was that little bit of run that Loyola went on, right? And I think they got it down to 3 or even – yeah, I think we got it down to 3, 21-18 with 8 minutes left. And then, yeah, it was never within, I think, a single digit for the next rest of the game nearly. That little bit of that kind of run that we went on was quite something to see. A tough game overall, but another last bright spot. Just looking at a box score, totally just generally, Phil had a double-double. Mm-hmm. There were a few other things probably could have done a little bit better, maybe. But overall, he had a double-double. So, I think Drew said it in his – and if you don't already, I think we talked about it before, please go watch on the Loyola Ramblers YouTube channel the post-game kind of show or kind of comments. I think it's really cool and also really tough. But he's still – since, I think, conference play, we've been seeing this video posted. So, yeah, Drew kind of summed it up. They just kind of kept – shoving it in our face, and what I think we scouted was totally what they did the opposite, and that's just kind of the way the game went. It was just a complete game of opposites, and right now two teams are at the bottom of the pack, one team is below it, and sadly it's our pack, and it's Loyola Ramblers. So that's just kind of the sum of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know, this isn't like some of these other conference games, like specifically like VCU, maybe George Washington, the same thing. Like, there was a talent gap, right? Like, you know, with George Washington, like, James Bishop is an incredible guard. And, like, there are a couple other players on that team that are very, very good. With VCU, yeah, like, Ace Baldwin and Nunn are top guards. Like, they are for sure, like, top-of-the-line A-10 players. And those games, like, yeah, I think, you know, there's a little bit of a talent gap. For St. Joe's, that's not the same. There's no talent gap between us and St. Joe's. So, you know, then it starts to be like, okay, well, like, what else went wrong, right? And you kind of mentioned it. I think there, you know, there's sometimes guys break out of slumps and sometimes guys get in slumps, right? And that's, I think, a little bit of what happened. There has to be, we're not in the business of speculation, but I do think there's some other stuff going on that we can't see. You know, this is the first time where I've really felt like Drew has kind of, I don't know, lost the intensity, both from his players a little bit and from his staff. Not to say that they're not trying. Let me make that very clear. Like, I know that the effort level is still there. The guys, when they're on the court and when they're practicing, are giving it a lot. But Drew has made comments that has alluded to the fact that sometimes in practice, they're not getting 100% effort. So that's what I'm basing this off of. Go ahead.
To your comment, and again, a lot of this is from the post comments of the games. Yeah, I think the summer you're talking about is he said he wishes people saw practice because the things that they're working on are not really what's going out in the court, right, in game time. And he literally admitted that it's his job, and that's the tough thing, right? Yes, it's not a one-man job, and we talked about the transition of relying on your staff, but, like, you're the face of a sinking ship or a ship that needs help, and it seemed tough, right? Like, to your point, Buck, he did mention that, like, what they're doing in practice is not what's going out in the court, and this might have been two or three games ago. It might have been just, I forget how many comments, videos ago it was, but, yeah, I think that's, to your point, a very tough thing to grasp, where it's like there's something is wrong that you can't transition from practice to the court, whether it be a player's staff, like that's something you don't really want to hear, because then something's clearly not transitioning, someone's not either reciprocating it when it goes live, right? Because you can practice all you want, but if you're not putting practice into kind of the work you're doing daily in a game, that's a little tough, I'd say, right? But we see the effort, right? And that's, to your point, I think I would love to hear you continue. It's like the effort's there, but it's the execution, I think, that's not there. That's the very, I think, the tough dynamic right now that's being done.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That is completely it. There's some link missing between practice and the games. It's got to be a problem that's shared by both the players and the coaches. You know, if we were seeing it every once in a while, one out of every five games, then you could maybe say, oh, in this one game, it was the players. In this one game, it was the coaches. But we're just seeing a complete accumulation of errors and mistakes, right? It's not just the turnovers. It's not just the defensive effectiveness. It's shooting now. It's these seniors who are struggling too. Young guys that get in there and aren't being put in the best position to succeed right off the bat. So there are a bunch of things that need to be corrected. I still fully believe in the coaching staff to figure things out. Got to remember, like, young coaching staff, I think it really just makes me appreciate what happened last year. But now that Drew's at the helm and he's got a bunch of young coaches too. There are a lot of guys who have probably only had one, maybe two other coaching jobs before this. And so a lot of those coaches know one way that it was done, but they haven't had that 15, 20 years of experience to be able to tell Drew, hey, you know, maybe this doesn't work, right? I've seen it at this location and this location, and it didn't work for us either time. I think good part about this is now that Drew has seen how stuff works and doesn't work, he's got to reevaluate too, right? Like, just like players get scouted to whatever their abilities are, now Drew has some, I don't know, so-called film on what works and what doesn't work for him. So I would imagine that we'll be seeing a lot of small tweaks, maybe some big tweaks, just kind of in terms of how they operate, how they travel, how they practice, how they meet during timeouts. Like, I would think that a lot of these things will just be like trial and error for the rest of the season. Which I think is a good thing. I would hope that they would be trying some stuff out now, that it's just kind of time to make some changes, especially after like 20 games or whatever it is now, 19, something like that. That's enough time. That's enough time to make some legitimate, declarations about what has gone wrong and what has gone right. Whatever they did during that Clemson game, I wish they could just replicate that. But I'm sure they've tried. So yeah, I mean, what I've kind of just been speaking on is just the inner workings of the staff. And it's hard because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And all we kind of get now are these little interviews with Drew, which are great. I'm happy that we're getting them. But we even saw, and he mentioned this too, like, coming out after the first half against VCU, they went and replicated. He said we wanted to replicate game opportunities, and they were doing like drills out of halftime, and I love that. I think that's great. You know, if going out and shooting around and being lazy for 5 minutes isn't working, you're dang right. Yeah, get in some drills, do layup lines, like throw some hands in people's faces when they're shooting. You know, get out, play, get your defensive slides going. Like, that should change intensity level. So I like that. I think that's great. I hope they keep that up. Even though it didn't, like, earn them a win, I particularly like that. But, yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts about just, like, the staff in general. My confidence for them is still there, and I'm curious what you think, if there's anything that needs to be changed, or how you kind of hope to see them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think, like, again, I'll say it again. Lynn Greer went, let's see, 3 of 32 from 3 this entire season before our game.
Okay.
3 of 32. That's 9%. Yeah, and he shot 83% from 3 against us. So, like, as a coaching staff, I think any person, if you told anyone those stats, you would say, hey, You can maybe slack off on him on three, right? You can give him some space. Yeah, I think, like, that's a really tough one right there, right? Because then you're immediately like, who did the scouting? Well, the scouting would have said he doesn't shoot from three. He's never made more than one three in a single game. Mm-hmm. So what would have been the scouting there? So, like, that's one example that's so interesting. And then you mentioned the Clemson game. Like, who isn't? We talked a little bit earlier offline here. The Clemson game is going to be on not our resume. It's going to be on Clemson's resume right now, the 19th ranked team in the country. It's going to be on their resume as a bad, bad loss. That's what it's going to be. Buck, for those of you who listen at home, Buck can't count. He didn't get a math degree. But we've only played 17 games. It's okay. It feels like we've played too many. But, like, the one game that we're going to talk about a lot is going to be, like, how did we do that at Clemson? Like, how? And that's going to be tough. I think we've mentioned wake-up call. Buck and I have talked about, like, what is it that needs to turn around? And Buck's right. Like, the staff and the players need to figure out, like, what works. And I really love that point you bring up. It's, like, just work on stuff at this point. Like, if you have to, just try, I guess, right? Because something's not working. And the tough thing is, like, I don't know, Buck, like, for me right now, the tough thing on the coaching staff side, it's like, it's not really that we're just losing some of these games. Like, VCU, absolutely. Like, that is crazy because we kept in the fight with VCU. And as we're recording now, they just beat Dayton by one, right? Because you texted me, one.
Yeah.
So, like VCU top contender. I think they even received votes, I think, this week.
They did.
In the AP. So crazy to see that. Again, we lost by 12, but we were competing. But a lot of our non-conference games are just, we're letting, baseline. Not a single conference game has, we've held the opponent less than 75 points. Right? Like, that's just astonishing, right? Now, again, three of the games have been blowouts, right? I'm going to just say anything 12 plus is a blowout. So that's the weird thing is that, like, I don't know if we got to go to the tape, but, like, we held Green Bay to 46 points. Now, Green Bay is a definitely different talented team. But here's the crazy thing. We held Clemson to 58 points.
Right.
We haven't held a single A-10 team to under 75. Oh, sorry. Yeah, under 78. 75 was Stanford. Jeez, I'm even not even counting. So, like, it's blowing my mind on that point of, like, where is that cognizant of things? We held Harvard even in a loss to 61. Texas A&M to 67. I think they just got a solid win, even though they're having a weird season. Yeah, they beat Missouri. Oh, wow, Texas A&M is going on a run, actually. They're 4-0 in conference, so watch out. But, yeah, I think you bring up a good point, and we can harp on it. But really, for me, it's just like, do you go back and see what you did the Clemson game? Yes and no, right? I think every team we play from now on is going to be a different team. They're all not Clemsons. But I think what you can say is, like, we played a top contender in NCAA right now. Why we got to play every other team like they're a top contender, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't see – like, St. Louis is a top contender in our conference, so that needs to be played. But, like, we can't – like, there's no room for, like, just slacking, I think, right? There's, like, St. Bonaventure, there's no joke. Duquesne, no joke. There can't be jokes had because we just got blown out 31 by St. Joe's, who people considered the joke because they have them down so far. Mm-hmm. Like, we joked, what, two podcasts ago about Fordham wake me up dream? Well, we're having a nightmare right now, and Fordham could easily come in and beat us. Ken Pom only has us winning by one against Fordham. So right now, those are the things. It's like we're projected to lose against LaSalle. Like, those schedules, though, left, right, are 13 games left. You need to find ways to win. And if it's the fundamentals that Buck brings up, whether you try and stuff out early or if you completely change the rotation, go right ahead. I think you honestly tell your guys – I'm trying something, right? Regardless of the name on the jersey or anything, you just say, hey, we're going to try something to win. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, we'll try something new the next game. Like, that's kind of maybe what it has to be. I don't expect it to. It's not going to be like a laughing stock, personally, for me. I think trying those things. But there's a little bit of, like, you got to try something after a 31-point loss to St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of the wherewithal. And Drew's right. And those – again, it's a privilege for us to get that kind of post-game comments from Drew, right? It's not the day after. It's not 2 days. It's not the Monday after games. These are like 20 minutes after the game ended at most.
Yeah.
It's Drew sitting down, upset that we lost, defeated because it's so tough. And it's like, he's right. VCU was a different level game, and we lost by 14. But it's just like there's a variance to what all going on, and it just is so interesting. I think that's the bottom line. Change things up, whether it be new rotations or new scouting, right? Try something different, maybe. We mentioned it before the St. Joe's game, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Buck, but we mentioned saying maybe try a new rotation. Like, just try something. I think you're right. But
I kind of want to talk about you got to try something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the rotations because I think we've been saying it for a couple weeks now. And here's the thing, like, I actually think it's not they haven't overhauled anything, but I actually think that they are trying different rotations. Like, so I'm throwing the St. Joe's game out the window because I don't really think you can take any reasonable deductions from that other than congratulations, Phil Alston. You got a double double. You always work your ass off. That's awesome. Go to VCU. Jamarrell Wilson, 18 minutes off the bench. That's different, right? Jalen Quinn, 10 minutes off the bench. I really think those were, like, quality minutes. I know I went back and I watched some of that game. He got, like, some legitimate quality minutes, especially in the first half.
So, yeah, your starting five still all played over 25 minutes, but so that's one additional data point. You go to George Mason, Golden and Quinn, 14 minutes off the bench. So, again, a couple guys with some major minutes. Huddy got 8 minutes, which is great. Huddy should, I think, get some more playing time. Like, we got to figure out what is there, right? Like, Jaden Dawson, 9 minutes off the bench. Still, you know, the starting five still getting a ton of playing time, but those guys getting some time. You go to George Washington. This one, Golden got 14 minutes. Saint got 11 minutes. So, I think there should be a little bit more change and more guys should get more time. Or the starting five should get a few last minutes so that we can see what we have otherwise. But I do think they're trying. I just don't think they're trying enough just yet. And I hope that within the next, like, few games, we do start to see, like, I think we have a pretty good idea of what Ben Schweiger is right now, right? Like, he has played a ton of minutes. He has been the biggest surprise this season. And for that, that's awesome. And, like, but we know what we have for now, right? It's a guy who is going to rebound. He can drive. He's athletic. He can shoot the three. His defense is tough right now, but he's going to give you effort. He might turn the ball over a little bit too much. But we have a pretty good idea. With a guy like Huddy, for instance, I know I'm not the biggest, like, play Huddy guy, but I think we have to play Huddy because, I mean, we've seen very little from him in really the past year and a half. And, you know, like when he first played in his freshman year, he could shoot the three pretty well and he got a good amount of block shots and rebounds and stuff. And they kind of transitioned him to be more of like just your traditional big. And I would love to see them try to transition back. I would love to see him get some 3-point shots. Cause I really think that he can shoot and stretch the defense and allow like a guy like Phil Alston to like work better in the paint. I don't know if we want to play Jamarrell Wilson much anymore considering he's going to be gone. I don't know if we want to play, Bryce Golden all that much anymore that he's going to be gone. Guys like Jaden Dawson and Jalen Quinn have to play 15 minutes a game. Like, that is from here on out. And if that means that, like, Braden is playing 30 or Marquise is playing 25, that's okay. Those freshmen need to get minutes. They need to put work in. Those are guys that they believe in, that they are very highly recruited guys. They are very winning players. I don't know if that's the correct word, but they've won at high levels, and they have led their teams at high levels. So those guys need to get in there. We need to figure out what we have there. And then I guess my last thing is a lead in. If you want to take it, go for it. If not, we can talk about the other players, but we got to talk about St. Thomas, and, what is going on there. So, wherever you want to jump in, go for it. We can talk about St. at the end too, if you want.
Yeah, no, I think back to your point, I think the last three games, we've seen more bench minutes, right, in rotation, right? I kept saying the word rotation. I think, I guess also maybe just different schemas on offense. I don't know. It's so weird, right? We go to the offensive stats seem to be there, but for some reason, of course, it's our defense. The turnovers are not decreasing. Another outing with 19. So, I think it's even just to that point, right? Like, are the guys turning the ball over in practice? I think I saw one Twitter account and was like, I don't know if it was a Loyola fan or just an A-10 fan, and was like, I've never seen so many cross-court passes just get intercepted or, like, taken away. And it's like, yeah, I think – and I even see that live sometimes. We love a cross-court pass that it's like – it's got enough time in the air to be taken away. And also sometimes it's like the defense is just watching where the ball is and it's really telegraphed anyway. So yeah, I think some of those kind of things, it's like, is that coaching staff? Is that players, right? Cause it's totally unfair to be like, it's only on one of them, right? It's a joint effort to like get better. I think that's the thing. And then on the roster, right? Like, it's weird to not have a complete roster, and also to not know what our complete roster is kind of going to be. Are guys going to always be there? So I think that's to your point with Saint. Saint wasn't there on Saturday, and I didn't hear anything. This is different from like the Stanford game where we were informed there were quite some illnesses. Yeah, it's just tough. A guy who started the season and then, of course, naturally kind of lost his spot, starting spot to Ben. But that, to me, doesn't mean he should have lost a spot to Try, but we don't know to get minutes. So, but I think that's, Buck, what you were kind of wanting to lead into.
Yeah, there's something there, right? I mean, like, a guy doesn't just not travel with your team. Like, that doesn't happen unless something has happened. And I don't know what has happened. We don't know. It can range everything from grades to performance to he had a personal reason, right? I mean, like, usually they say something, but it could be something that's private and he and or his family didn't want it out there. That very well could have been. We're not going to give any sort of indication of like what we think it might be, because that's not fair to him or the team. But there is something, and it's definitely worth keeping our eyes open. I think we will probably, one way or the other, have more information on Wednesday, right? Either he's there or he's not, and that alone might tell a story. If he's there, hopefully it either wasn't a big deal or they've moved past it. If he's not there, then there is something probably wrong. I think it's more likely that there's something wrong. And it's just, it's sad. I think either, no matter what's going on, even if you just take it for the face value of like, he's playing less minutes, he doesn't start anymore. And now he didn't play the last two games, if I'm not mistaken, at least the last game before St. Joe's, he just didn't play. Just like coach's decision. I know he didn't play at VCU. I mean, like, that in and of itself is a bummer. I think both of us and a lot of people that we talk to within college basketball, people who follow Loyola or the A-10 or the Missouri Valley last year, we had discussions about how much of a step forward we thought Saint would take, from everything from just like solid role player to potential top three guy in your team. You know, I think that was very much in the cards for Saint. So I really love him as a player. I think he, from what I can tell, is a good dude. I love the energy that he brings when he is having a good time and playing well, like we've seen him toward the beginning of the season, at the end of last year too, when he would get in at the end of games. So I hope that something can be figured out. I want to see him on this team. I just do not know if that's in the cards. Like, that isn't me inferring anything. I just don't know. You know, if you would have asked me 3 months ago, I don't think there would be any reason to think anything other than, oh yeah, he'll be back. But now I don't know. And that's sad, right? That's a bummer. It's a bummer for the team. It's a bummer just for the performance on the court. They needed guys like Saint and Sheldon and Bryce and Jamarrell Wilson to have big impacts. And that hasn't happened, besides one or two games for maybe each of those guys. So, that's kind of the difficult part of this whole conversation. It's tough to like make comments about it without sounding like we either don't believe in them or want ulterior motives for them. And the truth is, like, we get connected to these guys and we see, you know, a small part of their life, but more than just any other random basketball player. And personally, like, I get attached to them and I want them to succeed. And, I see that they give a lot to our program and our school and our city. And that makes me root for them. So at the end of the day, I want them to be successful, and I want them to be successful at Loyola. But
that doesn't always happen, and it's sad when those things don't happen. So I think it's just a little bit of a realization of that right now. I think it's okay to like be bummed, but we still gotta go out there and show them that they bring a lot to us and cheer for them and all that kind of stuff. And that I truly think that matters. I think that all matters to players, current players, to prospective players, to other teams. Like, I think that all does matter. So I'm gonna be there and continue to show my support. I know I said a lot, Lou, so whatever you want to jump in on, go for it. Yeah, it's all yours.
Yeah, no, you said a lot. You wear your heart on your jersey sleeve, whatever we want to say. But
for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you summed it up there great at the end, right? Is that like no matter what we say, it's again we kind of have to. It's like an elephant. There's a massive elephant in the room right now, and we have to of course talk about it. That's the whole point of this podcast. We talk about things related to Loyola basketball program, state of a season, or whatever we want to kind of call it. But there is that genuine question of like, from a team that was rated supposed to be rated what, third in the conference, to now we're 0-5 in a conference, 6-11, like what's going on, right? Like something clearly is going on. And I think we've stated this, right? Like, it's neither just one guy. Like, we clearly don't have one player who hates playing for the program, right? We don't have someone who's outright said on Twitter, or like there's not been a coach fired because of some controversy or anything. Like, we just have some, we're having some rough games, and it's being on national television, like we said. And it's not just like we could, if we lost these games, if we have lost every single conference game by like a buzzer beater,
yeah,
we'd be like, just our luck. I think Valpo might have had that. Didn't I think, was it Valpo or someone last year? Literally lost, or SIU lost like three games in a row by like one.
Yeah.
And I'd be like putting it all out there, right? Like competitively.
Yeah.
And it's just like these games are a little tough when they're blowouts. That's just the bottom line. Like, no one likes looking at their phone and to be like, oh, got to get home for the Loyola game. Because, again, also note, that game started very early. Forgot we were in the East Coast kind of situation. But, yeah, you just, like, you don't want to look at your phone, and ESPN's like, yep, your team is down a good old 31 – or, I don't know, it never got to 31 points early, but – it ended at 31, 15, right?
Even, like, at halftime. It's like, oh, man. Yeah.
Actually, I think it nearly got close to 40, now that I think about it. I think my wife was like, is that 40 points? No, I think it hovered. Oh, no, it did get to 33. It got to 35 even. Okay, we're not going to talk about it anymore. Yeah. But, like, stuff like that, right? Like, that's just, like, a pain. Tough to see, right? Like, there's nothing. But when it comes to players, I think, like, you still got to cheer for them. You still got to want – like, they're representing our school. They got the name on the jersey. And, yeah, again, I think the reality also, we're new in a conference. We also reality check to the fans. You've kind of, again, Buck and I at least have definitely been there and worked through it. We've definitely been very lucky to see some great years so far. Years programs would love that are part of, in my opinion, the A-10, right? Like, absolutely, they would love it. So I think this is just one of those times where it's like you just gotta find a positive. And I think, to Buck's point, the positive is playing guys. And I think the goal really should be playing the right guys, which is pretty much anyone on the roster right now, I think, is a right guy. But the right guys getting the right minutes. And yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle for the rest of the season. We got 13 games left. I think the goal should be, again, from a standpoint right now, should be trying to get a winning record, however we can. So, yeah, it's a tough one for sure. But on the Saint thing, I think he falls into a guy that I think should still get minutes. I think we talked about the games that we loved off him where it was just 7 rebounds or 7 assists, right? Or vice versa. Like, he found ways to be so effective. And I think that's very much still possible to our program. I just think we need to figure out if he's the guy or if Huddy needs to step up or, like, just there's all those questions that are going to have to be tried to figure out before the end of the season, because we can't have the season come to the end And sadly, just if we want to speak on a little bit of reality, I don't think we're going to see many postseason things. So we can't just have the season end with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I think that's my scare, right? If I'm going to really sum up my state of the season is, I don't want to go into the end of the season with a lot of more question marks than we're having currently right now. And those question marks are going to be relying on who's coming back next year. What is our roster look like, right? What does minutes look like? Who's going to start, right? Is it going to be two guys always playing like 40 minutes a game? I don't know, right? And sadly, we know already two players are graduating, like automatically seniors can't come back. So we'll see like what does that look like for the rest of the crew. It's just one of those things right now that I really want to try to salvage the season in a sense of building the answers to questions I don't want to have come the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Exact same. Like, you have to find answers to these questions. However you can get the data, you need to go out there and figure stuff out.
Yeah, you brought it up last week? You kept saying data points, and like that's the point. Like, we're not gonna have an exact formula. Like, that is not a thing that's gonna happen. But we can have some form of like, oh, familiarity or like comfort in knowing like he can take up the ball, right? Like, right. Those are those questions that I guess are concerning because we don't, I think, necessarily know. Are these the guys that can take out the ball? Can he get a rebound when we need a rebound? Like, where I'm not even asking, can he lead the team in scoring? Not asking those. I'm asking questions. Can he come off the bench? Can he defend off screen? Does he go under a screen or does he always go over? Does he fight for an extra rebound? Like, those are like the very, I think, fundamental and rudimental questions I'm asking. And I just don't have answers to it because sometimes we just need more data points. Buck mentioned it last week, and I think it's a very valid thing. Where, again, we're not the data guys, but I'm also not going to be Bill Belichick and throw the iPad down. Like, I think you need some information, but that's why we're the guys talking about it and not the guys coaching about it. Yeah. We're going to hopefully let the coaches deal with that. So, but I think more information right now in our situation right now will help us because I think the more information we get, the more we can learn. And right now, you learn more from your mistakes than you do sometimes your successes. And right now, we're making a lot of mistakes, aka turnovers. But I think we got to start trying to find some answers for sure.
Yeah, if you don't want to make any more mistakes buying Ramblers gear, I have the perfect solution to never make a mistake again. And that is shopping at minijerseys.com. If you need some more Rambler gear, or maybe you're thinking about going down to Brooklyn to support our Ramblers and you need some new gear to show off, go ahead and go to minijerseys.com. That is minijerseys with a Z, and get some new Rambler gear. I actually have a Brady Norris fan club t-shirt that I just saw. I got the notification today that it is on the way. So I will be wearing that when I get that. Yeah, so check out minijerseys.com. But yeah, back to this. Like we've been saying, we need more data, and I think that's the case. You know, we know that's why when I'm talking about Ben, it's like, okay, we kind of do have a lot of data with Ben, right? We know what we have with Marquise and Braden, and I think we have a pretty good idea of Tom and Phil. We know what those guys are, but some of the bench guys, or probably all the bench guys, really, we need to figure some stuff out. That's what I'm hoping I see. That's what I think can change the direction of the program. Because right now, we don't necessarily know who's all coming back, but if we can get some really positive production out of those freshmen, then we have some stuff to look forward to, right? We have some really tangible efforts, production to look forward to for next year, potentially.
I think just to sum up, even just like finding the way to, I guess, get to things now, it's like bottom line for like the roster talk, if people want to start thinking, but not speculate. That's the thing. We're just thinking and talking, not speculating. Mm-hmm. We right now only have one recruit coming in, and we technically also have one scholarship open.
Right.
So on paper, as of right now, we want all these people back because they're the guys coming back. And we want them as fully kind of fully ready as much as possible. So that's kind of the other talk is like just getting guys ready to want to be available for the coming season for sure. So,
and just the law of averages at this point too, like I think it's safe to assume that one guy who we are is on our team right now is probably going to transfer, and that's not anyone in particular. That's just how the numbers are. I would even be safe to say it's like two at this point.
I think it's like two and a half maybe. I think.
So the staff has some room to work, and we'll see if anything starts happening as far as like recruiting goes. We're always on that, so we'll be sharing stuff about that if that comes up. Otherwise, the transfer stuff does not start until March, so we will be on that when that happens. But yeah, it's been tough, I know, to be a Rambler fan recently. We obviously are both feeling it. I'm hoping that things start to turn around a little bit. Just play competitive. I think that at this point, that's kind of what we're hoping for. Like we've mentioned, if we lose on a buzzer beater, we lose on a buzzer beater, right? Like if we lose by 2-3 points, like that's a good game. That's what I'm hoping for. I just want to see some more fight out of this team. It's obviously not going how they wanted to, how they've planned it, but you know, if you get knocked down, you got to get back up. And these guys, you know, I'm sure they hate losing. So show that you hate losing. I know that you're not winning right now, but if you just really put your passion into the show how much you hate losing, I think you'll find that it'll go a little bit better than not feeling that at all. So that's how I'm feeling. Lou, any last thoughts?
Go out there and try, execute. There you go. Execute the plans. There's a lot, but just always try hard. Just try hard at this point. I don't want to see a team just like give up, right? That's the thing. You don't want to give up, so just try hard.
Execute the game
plan. And maybe Oh, sorry. Okay. I just want to say maybe don't try to play Tuesday. I would like us not to play Tuesday, but that's for personal reasons that we can talk about closer to Tuesday.
I'm with you. Execute the game plan. I'm sure if they execute and end up losing, I'm sure Drew will talk about that in the post game, and then we can say that that's progress. So let's execute. Let's get some progress, and hopefully we see a better result on Wednesday. That is all we have from you here at Podcast 63 from Buck and Lou. Thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.